We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. And so we want to welcome you. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We are still alive. We are still open. We're still ministering the Word of God here on the radio 5 days a week. We are still live streaming our services and having live services as best we can. And so we want to thank you for tuning in today and making us part of your journey to work or your journey at work or journey at home. Might be journey on the way home from home if you're listening at 5 o'clock. We're on multiple times throughout the day. We're on at 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. 15:10 a.m. you will find a rebroadcast of this program, and that takes place at 10:30 of a morning. There are also some related transponder frequencies that you can find us on, so you can actually find the AM broadcast on the FM dial in several different places. And so every once in a while, I just go scanning through the radio stations and see if I can find WMIE or some of the rebroadcast throughout the day. And so if you happen to miss any of those three time frames, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, or 10:30 of a morning, you can always go to WMIEFM.com and you can find the Listen On Demand feature. It is all the way down at the bottom of the page. And you can click on Listen On Demand. It pulls up a little pop-up menu where you can type in a date, go to date, select a date. And once you put that date in, like if you missed yesterday's broadcast, you could put in May the 11th, 2020, and it will go and it will show you everything that is available from an on-demand feature on that day. So later on, you'll be able to find today's broadcast as well. So there are lots of listening opportunities. I pray that you will hear something in this program that will benefit you. And if that is the case, I want to encourage you to let someone else know so that they also can avail themselves of this refreshing word. In the land of deception, truth may be offensive, but it is also very refreshing. You know, there are many times when people are surrounded by people who will only tell them what they want to hear. And for those people, many times, the voice that they treasure the most is the person that tells them not what they want to hear, but they will tell them the truth. And so I pray that we will be messengers of truth. Yesterday, we didn't get very far in Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to go back today and begin reading at verse number 12. And it says there, "A worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points with his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy." And here it's, we talked yesterday about the worthless person and the wicked person, and all of that can be undone. All of that can be transformed. We love to hear a great comeback story. We love to hear about the person who's down and out and, you know, the ultimate defeat is imminent, and all of a sudden Jesus comes in, changes their hearts, and brings them to greater heights than they've ever been before. And so I want to encourage you to never give up on a person. Never give up on a person. Jesus can come in and make that person extremely valuable. But we cannot take God out of the equation and still expect the same results. The God factor is extremely, extremely important. So we're going to look a little bit more about this worthless person or wicked person and how they behave themselves. It says, this person walks with a perverse mouth. That means that their mouth doesn't tell it to you straight. I will tell you, if you look down at verse number 14, you gain a little bit of understanding about why they speak with a perverse mouth, and it is because perversity is in their heart. And so once again, we see a connection between what is in our heart and what comes out of our mouths. Let's take ourselves out of the equation and let's begin to look at it as if we were dealing with another person. You can identify what is going on in a person's heart by listening to the words that come out of their mouth. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that they say is going to be forthright. If you understand that they are not telling you the truth, then you know that deception is residing in their heart. That's really what is going on here. You see, as you are choosing the people that you are going to associate with, that you are going to hang around, that you are going to befriend and use as a source of iron sharpens iron, you want to make sure that you are not hanging around with a person who is speaking with a twisted mouth, or they twist the facts, or they distort the truth. Okay? So this person that is being identified, and there are several different characteristics as far as what they do with their eyes, their mouth, their feet, their fingers, their heart. This person is working to undermine social and personal relationships for his own benefit. Now, on yesterday's program, when I was introducing this passage to you, I made a statement that this is what Absalom did. Absalom didn't like it that his father did not address the rape of his sister. And that rape was by one of his brothers. And so Absalom set about to pretend to throw a party, invited all of the kids, and the intent of all of that was so that he could kill his brother. And so you see that there's a pretense there. They will use pretense to hide the ultimate motive that they had. And so this Absalom had taken on a vigilante type spirit. He had taken upon himself a jurisdiction, and he knew that he couldn't pull it off on his own. He needed the father to dispatch the family to his house. And then once he accomplished his mission, he said, you know what? I'm probably going to get in trouble for this. And so he left. And I will tell you this, you won't hear this many places, but deception is not only the proclamation of a lie, but if you look in the story of Laban and Jacob back in the book of Genesis, you will discover that Jacob deceived Laban by leaving without telling Laban he was leaving. So if you just walk off the job and you don't tell your boss that you're not coming back, that's an act of deception. If you just abandon your family and you don't tell them you are leaving, you are deceiving the family. If you just leave the church and you don't communicate with the pastor, that's an act of deception. We don't want to do that. So Absalom, he goes off to a foreign land, and the heart of David longed for Absalom. Joab actually worked a scheme, okay? Maybe that's why Joab and Absalom team up a little bit later. But Joab sets up a pretense for a woman coming to the king and saying, I've got this situation, and I need you to intervene so that my other son isn't killed. And David says, I'm going to intervene. And she said, if I can just say one more word, why haven't you brought Absalom back when you have? And David said, okay, let me ask you a question. Are these not the words of Joab that I hear coming from your mouth? And she said, oh, the king is very, very wise, and there is nothing that is done in the kingdom that the king isn't aware of. And so Joab also operated from a pretense. So you've got the king's son Absalom that's operating from pretense. You've got Joab operating from pretense. He had killed Abner under the cloak of having a conversation with him. There was a whole lot of things that was going on that people king were making it look one way when it was actually something else. So back to the story of Absalom and Joab and David. David sends word, Absalom is brought back to the kingdom, but David says he can't see my face. And so a prolonged period of time goes on, and Absalom gets very, very frustrated that he's not able. I mean, he's back, but he's not at liberty. He's not free. He can't do whatever he wants to do. And so he sends a message for Joab. And Joab doesn't respond. You know, he's the commander in chief of the armed forces, if you will. And, I guess the better term would be, he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's over all of the military, but he's still subject to the king. And Absalom gets frustrated that Joab's not responding the way he wants him to. And so Absalom tells him, hey, Joab's got a field right next to mine. Go set it on fire. Burn it to the ground. And so Joab shows up and says, why did you burn my field down? I mean, you're the reason you're here is because I intervened with the king on your behalf. And Absalom said, look, I want to see the king. If I need to die, then let him kill me, but I want to see the king. And so, again, there's this perversity that is going on, this manipulation of things behind the scene. And Solomon is witnessing all of this perversity going on in the dynamic of the kingdom. So Joab brings him to the king. There's a reunion. And that's when the problems really start. If you go back and look at what took place, by the way, all of this was after David's situation with Bathsheba. So we talked about the immoral woman earlier in our studies about the book of Proverbs. And Solomon would have had a great deal of awareness about that because that Bathsheba was his mother. And so his older brother died as a result of David's sin. And now there's all of this dysfunction that is going on in David's family where people are manipulating their relationships for their own personal agenda and for their own personal profit. So What does Absalom do? Absalom goes and he positions himself early of a morning outside the gates of the city where the king was holding an audience. And people in those days, they would come to the king if they had a grievance. And so Absalom would greet them with a social kiss. I'm so thankful that we don't have that going on in our society anymore. I really am. So he greets them and he would say, "What has brought you before the king today?" And they would tell him what was going on. And he said, "You know what? You've got a legitimate argument. You've got a legitimate case. If there was only someone who could represent you before the king, we would be able to get justice for you. But the king is so busy, you know, you're not going to be able to get to him. This is just a problem you're going to have to learn to live with." And the scripture makes this statement, "And he stole the hearts of the people from the king." And after he had done that long enough, after he had enamored himself to a large multitude of people, all of a sudden, that's when Absalom rises up and says, "I'm going to overthrow the king." He's going to take that authority upon himself. There was a walking with a perverse mouth. The things that he was speaking were not the ultimate things that he had in mind. He would use his eyes, his feet, his fingers, his heart. He was devising a scheme, and he was manipulating and undermining the social order of the day and personal relationships because of one thing. Absalom wanted to be king, and he didn't want to be king when David died. He wanted to be king right then and there. Can I tell you that a worthless person, a useless person, an unprofitable person, and a wicked person, one of the things that is going to really stand out is they are going to be tremendously lacking in patience. Patience is a fruit of the Spirit. Patience is a byproduct of our relationship with God, where all of a sudden we understand the timeline is not a timeline that I establish. It's a timeline that God establishes. And until he says it's time, then he's working on developing me. There must be something in me that still needs to be edified, built up, before I'm able to walk in this desire. That, you know, David understood, you don't touch the Lord's anointed. You don't try and rush God's timeline. You embrace God's timeline. So it says in verse 14, he devises evil continually. Okay. You need to make sure that the people who are walking alongside of you and working alongside of you, that the things that they are planning are not evil, illegal, immoral, or unconstitutional, as I like to say, that they are working on the situation in such a way that it is going to produce a godly outcome. A godly outcome. Be very wary, be very cautious of a person who is constantly talking about doing evil. Okay? How do you know if that's what's going on in their heart? Because it's constantly coming out of their mouth. Okay? And it says this, he sows discord. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit more in the next portion of Proverbs chapter 6. But you need to understand the principle of sowing and reaping. God told Noah that as long as the earth endures, that one of the things that would remain would be a combination of seed time and harvest. Okay? And so if you want a harvest of watermelons, you don't sow Brussels sprouts. Okay? If you want to harvest watermelon, you've got to sow watermelon. Okay, I didn't do too good raising watermelons, but I didn't do too bad with cantaloupes. If you want to sow, if you want to harvest cantaloupes, you have to sow cantaloupes. And if you want to harvest garden ripened tomatoes that are a meal unto themselves, that have just a flavor that nothing that you can buy in the grocery store can duplicate, you got to sow tomatoes. Be very wary of people who are constantly sowing strife and discord, because you know what they're going to reap? They're going to reap a life of strife and discord. I saw a person recently, fairly recently, haven't seen them in a long, long time. And when I knew them before, they were constantly sowing strife and discord. Everywhere they got the opportunity to sow strife and discord, they would sow strife and discord. And so they reaped strife and discord. And you would like to think that as people get older and, you know, the pages of the calendar turn, that, you know, that Jesus has gotten hold of their heart and they've recognized that, you know, this strife and discord thing, it's not working for me anymore, and that they would change, they would repent, and they would embrace peace and unity. The unity of the brethren is where God commands his blessing, even life, forevermore. Okay? So if we sow strife and discord, we are disqualifying ourselves from the place of commanded blessing of life evermore. So you'd think that people would get tired of missing out on the quality of life that God intended for them. And even though it's been since I saw this person, I discovered there's still a person that sows strife and discord. How do you interact with a person? Well, I'll tell you, the only thing that I can do in a situation like that is I've got to remain on a superficial level with them. I'm not exposing the secrets of my heart, and I'm certainly not allowing anything that they speak to me to find a place in my life, because I know that all they're trying to do is manipulate a situation for their own benefit. Even if it's not a financial benefit, sometimes it just provides them an emotional thrill just to be able to disrupt the unity. Okay? The devil has nothing to gain from sowing strife and discord into your life. Nothing to gain. The only thing that works for him is by sowing strife and discord and getting people to embrace a life of sin and ungodliness, is that it deprives us of spending eternity with God. And that is where he finds the sense of satisfaction. Verse number 15 says this: therefore his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. And again, Solomon had witnessed this in his family. Amnon had set a pretense that where he took advantage of his sister, raped his sister, and he just moved on. He thought everything was going to be fine. Get this woman out of here. He had spent so much time fantasizing about her, and it said he hated her more than he had ever loved her. Get her out of here. She disgusts me. And then he just moved on like, oh, well, I haven't done anything wrong. Absalom did the same thing when he murdered Amnon and burned down Joab's field. And he just moved on and thought, well, there's not going to be any consequence. There's not going to be any repercussions for me. Joab did the same thing when Abner was trying to unite the kingdom with David as the king, but there had been a battle where Abner had killed Joab's brother, which, by the way, Joab and David were cousins, and Joab wasn't able to move forward, even though it was a battle-type situation. There was another situation where a person was going to be placed in command over Joab, and Joab killed him as well. And they thought, oh, well, there's not going to be any ramifications. And I will tell you that God suddenly can happen very, very suddenly. When God says that there is going to be a calamity that comes, whether it's Ahab and Jezebel, whether it's Amnon, whether it's Adonijah, whether it is the person who rose up and cursed David as he was fleeing from Absalom, Absalom, it doesn't matter who, Adonijah, Joab, all of them found that their timetable turned very rapidly. Adonijah had anointed himself king only to find out that while he was doing that, David, the king, was anointing Solomon, his successor. And Solomon showed him mercy, and Adonijah continued to devise evil, and suddenly his life was ended. Joab conspired against Solomon and had undermined David to the point that David said, though this day I am weak, though anointed king, and these sons of Zeruiah are too strong for me. And his end came suddenly. Amnon's end came suddenly. Absalom's fortunes changed in a battle when his hair, the thing he was most proud of, ended up being the thing that caused him to get entangled in a bunch of trees, and he was just hanging in the trees. I don't know why he didn't give himself a haircut and get himself down from the trees before anybody spotted him, but he didn't. Trust me, suddenly things can change. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.